1000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here every day on Let's Face the Issues. And right after a brief monologue, we're going to invite you to call. Join in the dialogue and discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And keep in mind, as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, we find a declaratory statement made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117:2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So I don't know about you, but I'm comforted with that, to know that God's truth, regardless of what the world says, God's truth endures forever. And may I remind you, as we face the issues today, we're talking about using the issue warning to all Christians. Pause for a moment, let that sink in. Warning to all Christians. We're going to talk about the issues in America and on a global basis that is a good indicator and evidence of what's happening with the persecution, the prosecution of Christians on a global basis and right here in America. And as we talk about that, we're going to ask the question, what should we do? How should we then live? What should Christians do? How should we respond? Should we remain silent? Should we hide under the bed or in the closet, as multitudes have for the past 50, 60 years? What should we do? How should we respond to the warnings of today? And by the way, it's not new. The warnings that I'm giving today, the warnings that we're talking about today, the issues that we're illuminating today and discussing, that's the persecution, the prosecution of Christians, is not something brand new. It's not something that I originated. The Word of God warns us of that. The Lord Jesus warns us of that. The Apostle Paul warns us of that. And we find throughout all of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament, those that fear God, those that are, we call in the Old Testament the God-fears, the New Testament, we're talking about Christians, what the world is doing to persecute, to prosecute, to come against Christians. It hasn't changed. In fact, contrary to many beliefs today, it's intensifying in the era in which we're living. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, there are multitudes that somehow, some way, want to bifurcate truth. They want to get away from truth. In fact, it was the secularist of yesteryear, Orwell, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we see taking place in our great nation today. In fact, as we speak, there are those in the U.S. House that want to bifurcate truth. They wanted to turn around and blame that, claim that Trump is responsible for going after Maduro in Venezuela just because he wants his oil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the entire Democratic Party, dumb as a rock, following the demonic, evil, wicked wishes of Satan to destroy America. And they're claiming that it's Trump's problem, wherein it was in 2019, if I'm not mistaken, that Sleepy Joe Biden placed a $25 million bounty on the heads of Maduro, wanting him to be brought in. And because Trump did it, now all of a sudden it's Trump's fault and there's a problem. I'm just simply illustrating as a parenthetical footnote of what we're talking about. We're talking about bifurcating the truth, not standing on truth. In fact, it was the latest survey that is frightening to me. The latest survey says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. And speaking of the millennial age group, 18 to 35-year-old age group, where 55% of them simply say this, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if we have a demarcation from truth, if we fail to grasp truth, if we fail to recognize without truth we have no foundation, it is exactly what one headline says. Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And the subtitle of this article says, dangerous nonsense from the social sciences has bled into hard sciences that basically deny absolute truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement, by the way, that I believe, as I quoted each and every day on this broadcast, it is my desire to see and to hear and understand that you're grasping it and adhering to this fact. It was Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's what Christians and the church ought to be doing today. But I find it so sad and differential to the truth, where so many will say, well, you know, I'm going to leave that up to the politicians. And others will say, well, we're just going to talk about Jesus. We're not going to say anything about civil government, because after all, government's not our affair. We ought not to be, church ought not to be, Christians ought not to be involved in the governmental affairs. We call it politics today. God's word called it civil government. And let me remind you, for the umpteenth time, according to Romans chapter 13, God created a civil government as his servants. And as the civil government is subservient to, submitted to, submission in view of God and God's word, civil government is to prosecute evil and to, if you please, protect good. That's my takeoff of the first seven verses in Romans 13. And yet many do not recognize that as facts today. I'm saddened to see the declension of the church, the apostasy in the church, and the multiple closings of churches across the nation today, simply because Christians are not being the salt and light that we're called to be. We're going to talk about that in our broadcast today. And I pray that you'll stay tuned. In fact, pick up the telephone, call friends, relatives, neighbors, and ask them to join in the dialogue and discussion. And by the way, while it's on my mind, if this broadcast each and every day is a benefit and a blessing to you, inspiration to you, informative to you, let me encourage you to go to FCBCATJax.com. Scroll down to the donate button and donate on a regular basis, monthly basis, or one-time basis to support the ongoing of this radio broadcast ministry, where you, the people, have an opportunity to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day, where some have used the term, they want to put in their 2 cents worth, where you can put in your nickel's worth. We'd love to have you do so. We'd also invite you to prayerfully consider month by month, week by week, supporting this radio broadcast. It's pretty costly, and we do not go begging, but at the same time, we're inviting you, if it's a blessing to you, support it. Love to have you do that during this 2026 year. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road on the campus I've told for a time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag at the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we want it to be inspirational, informational, and challenging to each and every one, especially Christians, conservatives, and patriots that are faithful in listening and joining in the dialogue each and every day. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Give me just a moment in the monologue, and we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to dial in. Ladies and gentlemen, every believer, listen. Every believer, every church, every pastor, I believe, must recognize what's taking place in America and around the world today. Far, far too long, listen to me, far, far too long, we've been told that believers ought not to be involved in the political system, that believers ought not to participate, that pastors ought not to say anything about politics from the pulpit. I've jokingly said down through the years, as a famous word that I use, a Greek word for that, horse feathers. There's never been a case where a believer, a Christian, a pastor, is forbidden constitutionally from standing in a pulpit and preaching the Word of God. And if we talk about politics, civil government, we talk about the home, the church, the family, government, any of those areas, ladies and gentlemen, God created the home, God created government, God created the church, and He did so in that order. So anything we speak about from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 will be all-encompassing, inclusive of the church, the home, the family, and government. And we have the right, the authority to do so. The authority, first of all, given by God to us, secondly, codified in our Constitution, to be carried out by we the people, especially as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, listen, as a result of the silence in the pulpits, as a result of the squelching of the voices of Christians, as a result of Christians being fearful of what government might say rather than what God's Word says, as a result of that, we're finding some dastardly, strategically harmful issues that we're faced with in America today. Yes, some of these issues are being faced around the globe, but the people around the globe, the nations around the globe, do not have the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the authority that's codified in our Constitution as we Americans do. So I'm concerned about the declension that we're seeing. Believers now being somehow, some way surprised on an increasing basis that there is a persecution and prosecution of Christians taking place in the world and in America in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a massive article, and I'll not take time to try to point out every aspect of it. I'll just go down to headlines. Masterpiece Cake Shop, Colorado Civil Rights Commission, started a case in 2018. It's been going on now for almost 10 years. It's gone twice to the Supreme Court because the Masterpiece Cake Shop said, no, we will not bake a cake honoring and recognizing an LGBTQ sodomite marriage. Then we have Klein of Oregon, the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, Sweet Cakes by Melissa, that's now in the courts, working its way to the Supreme Court, where she also said, I'm not going to bake a cake for a sodomite couple. We got the case after case after case. A Christian photographer would not do a sodomite wedding. Arlene's Flower Shop, Baronelle Stutzman, been in the limelight out of Colorado because as a florist, she said, no, it's Washington State, it's hers, because she said, no, I'm not going to do a wedding for a sodomite couple. She is being prosecuted, persecuted now for over 10 years, back and forth in the courts. Well, the state of Washington State will not release it. They continue to bring fragments of the case back up, prosecuting her. Creative LLC and Elinus, 2023 case, was a web designer, a Christian web designer, refused to do a sodomite LGBTQ web design and being prosecuted and persecuted. And I could go on and on and on where Christian photographers, Christian business people being persecuted and prosecuted simply because of their Christian faith. Ladies and gentlemen, that's some of the larger cases. And I've got a whole slate of them, but that's some of the larger cases. But it is more rudimentary and elemental than that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Bibles are banned in the schools today. Jesus is not allowed to be spoken of in the schools. Listen, most of the states in America today, the Bible is not to be seen in the public classroom. several years ago, a teacher was prosecuted because he refused to hide his Bible. He was told by the superintendent of the schools and the principal of the school, you've got to put that Bible in your desk drawer because God forbid, if that Bible is ever left open and a child were to inadvertently look at it, it could harm that child for life. That was the statement by court here in the state of Florida for a fifth grade teacher in relationship to a Bible being opened. Jesus is banned, but yet Islam is not banned. The Allah and Muhammad can be talked about in the classroom. In fact, lectures and classroom settings about that. But ladies and gentlemen, in America, we find even nativity scenes are being banned across the nation, state after state and city after city. I'm looking at the headline. Why would somebody have such hate? Question mark. Churchgoers are stunned at the vandalism against a nativity scene. Members of the Bethany Lutheran Church in Ohio said they were speechless to find that someone had vandalized their nativity scene ahead of Christmas. Quote, you could see the tire tracks coming in from the north, and we are 50 feet off the road. They came through one time, wiped it out, came through the second time, wiped it out again. He said, there were three sets of tire tracks going through the location of the display. On the third pass, they vandalized and destroyed the entire nativity scene. That's a hatred and a rejection for anything that would be called Christian and Christianity. That is what we're seeing today on an increasing level. It seems as though, ladies and gentlemen, the entirety of society have animus and hatred and anger and demonic ill will toward anything that's called the church, called Christians, a Christian presentation, Christian prayer, Christian Bible. And yet, on the other side of the coin, city after city, state after state, embracing and enabling the LGBTQ sodomite community to stand up, be heard, be seen in the classroom and elsewhere. They're enabling and embracing the Islamic jihadist movement in America today, city after city and state after state. A good illustration, we'll talk about that also, good illustration of that is in New York City, a city of 8.5 million people, where now an Islamic jihadist, socialist, Marxist, communist, is the mayor of New York City. And ladies and gentlemen, the recent inaugural speech that he gave should make the hair stand up on the back of your neck in the realization and the recognition of that being allowed in the United States of America. The Ten Commandments are illegal in the public square. The Ten Commandments are illegal in most schools and school campuses. The Ten Commandments are not allowed even on a courthouse lawn. The Ten Commandments, ladies and gentlemen, are the basic jurisprudence rules that all of our laws are founded upon in the United States of America. But somehow, some way, that is not allowed. Ladies and gentlemen, several states just in the recent years, passed legislation signed by their governors to allow the Ten Commandments to be posted in the classrooms. And the size of the Ten Commandments were outlined in those laws that were passed. Most of those laws right at this very moment are tied up in the courts, this court scenario, the court cases, working its way through the courts, where the courts have said, and some loose likes, lost liberal law, a judge has said no to the Ten Commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is the warning. I believe that Christians need to stand up, sit up, be seen, be heard, and recognize what is happening. It's time Christians cease silence. It's time Christians be vocal, verbal, and victorious in our stand for truth, for morals, for ethics, for values, and for biblical evidence to be allowed in the public arena. Prayer in our schools are rejected. When's the last time you heard your child come on and say, Mom or Dad, we had prayer this morning? Mom, the teacher prayed for the students that are sick. Mom, I just want to let you know that our teacher stood and read the Bible today in the classroom, and then we prayed for our other students. But yet you have today where Islam is invading America. You have the call to prayer from the prayer towers five times a day, starting at 3:30 a.m. in the morning. And yet that is allowed? The courts have said that's a religious privilege, and they've allowed it. Look at Dearborn, Michigan. Look at what is happening, and will happen now on a major basis in New York City. with the new Islamic jihadist, socialist, Marxist, communist mayor in New York City. Look at what takes place. That makes the Christian, the conservative, the patriot have to be subservient to a false god, a false religion, a demonic delusion that will destroy any city, any nation, any people that allows it to come in and become dominant. Now, I don't know if you are understanding what I'm saying. I'm trying to set the stage for where we're going. After we go through all of what we want to say, the question is going to be, how should we then live? What is the answer? By the way, today's broadcast was prompted in my mind as a result of a lady calling yesterday and saying, what should we do? How should we respond? Good question. And I'm hoping this will help give a broader answer as to what we should do. But we've got to set the stage, draw the foundation, so that we'll understand what we're talking about. And to understand it, we must realize that these things are not just isolated cases. These things that are happening across America are not just a little mom-and-pop case here and there. It goes back fundamentally to what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. In verse 20, in John chapter 15, Jesus then says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will also keep yours. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing what Jesus said would be the fruit, the outcome of what is evident today more than ever before with the hatred, the persecution, and the prosecution of Christians. Truth is being banned. Morals and ethics and values are being destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, as I touched on the broader picture and the larger article, where Christian bakers, Christian florists, Christian wedding planners, Christian photographers, Christian business people being prosecuted and persecuted, and some even put in prison for simply saying no on the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Now, you say, well, I don't take a stand publicly about those things, but I think God does. Well, you'd be surprised how many churches, how many Christians, how many pastors refuse to talk about these very things. They take the attitude that it might hurt somebody's feelings. Well, I'd rather hurt an individual's feelings than to go against what God's Word says. God's Word calls sin, sin. God's Word says that the church ought to be salt and light. If the church is not salt and light, God's going to put the light out, and God's going to let the church be cast out and trodden underfoot. And may I say, in advance of where we're going today, that I believe that's precisely what we see taking place in the society in which we're living in today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. Enough is enough. Cakes back on menu at Supreme Court as an all-of-government attack continues against Christian Baker. For 8 years now, California has treated Kathy like an enemy, dragged her through the court after court, smearing her name and trying to force her to violate her faith. Cakes are back on the menu at the Supreme Court. Listen, this article reads this way. The High Court already previously has said on the cakes for Jack Phillips, Masterpiece Cake in Colorado, scolding the state, that state of Colorado now, for hostility toward Christian and Christianity, and barring the state from punishing him for rejecting demands he violated by violating his faith, promoting the LGBTQ ideology with his artistry. The arguments being made by Kathy Miller of California essentially the same. The arguments being made are the same as that of Jack Phillips. A report from Beckett, that's the law firm, which is representing Miller along with other law firms, explains Miller has asked the High Court to protect her right to create custom-designed wedding cakes that reflect her faith. The government of the state of California was weaponized against her when she was told a same-sex duo that her faith did not allow her to personally promote her ideology by not designing their wedding cake. That's almost the same a decade back. Since then, multiple agencies and courts officially have attacked her for harming the dignity of all Californians, according to their beliefs. Her case developed when she told same-sex duo she could not work on their cake, but would rather refer them to another bakery. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Here's another illustration of the hatred, the animus, the non-recognition, the refusal to allow Christians to have their morals and ethics and values in society. Leftists abandon perverted trans demands at Christian camp for children. Leftists in Colorado, by the way. If you want to look at a wretched, wicked, lost state filled with leadership that's lost, and I'm not saying everybody in Colorado's bad, but it's probably the most wicked, morally speaking and ethically speaking, state in America. You've got a leftist sodomite, flaming sodomite at the head as governor. You find the entire state with the House of Representatives and the all of the Senate being made up primarily, predominantly of leftist Democrats, and they hate Christians. And it's been evidence now for 15 plus years. This article says leftists in Colorado apparently can learn, as they have agreed to settle quickly the latest lawsuit challenging their agenda to impose the LGBTQ faith on all groups in the state, including Christian camps for children. The ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, has announced that a settlement has been reached with the state in which extremists in power have agreed not to enforce their transgender demands on a Christian camp for children, named for their traditional hymn, "I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Anything." Further in the article, earlier court fights over the anti-Christian policies and practices adopted by the state officials already have cost taxpayers millions of dollars, and those continue to mount up even now. The newest case was filed just a month ago and challenged a decision by the Colorado Department of Early Childhood to impose its transgender, listen, to impose its, speaking of the state, its transgender ideologies on all camps for children in Colorado. The settlement allows the camp to operate without compromising its religion and common sense beliefs about biological sex, the team, the legal team, the lawyers, explained in their note about the case. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today warning to Christians. Warning to Christians. Now, many Christians, many churches, and multitudes of pastors look at it. Well, it hadn't affected me. I have not crossed the line. I'm tiptoeing around the issues so that I don't get into trouble, so that somebody won't bother me, etc., etc. So it's those few, and it's those sprinkled throughout all of Christendom today, that makes up what I call the majority of those that are ignoring all the warning signs in relationship to persecution and prosecution, and Jesus saying that that's what happened to him, and that's what will happen to us as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a much broader warning in Matthew, the 24th chapter, about the last days and what would take place. It talks about, in 5th verse and following, about there are many false teachers coming into the society today. The Bible warns us of wars and rumors of wars. It warns us of that which will be nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. The Bible warns us of famines and diseases and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these, Jesus said, are just the beginnings of sorrows. Verse 9 in chapter 24 says, "Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations, and for my name's sake." And then in the 12th verse, "And because iniquity," lawlessness, twisted sin, "shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." As a result of the lawlessness abounding, there are those that will simply wax cold, the scripture says. That is, sit in silence, sit in a mummified position, rather than taking a stand to stand against evil. Listen very carefully. If we do not stand now, there'll not be time to stand in the future. As we see what's happening in UK, as we see what's happening in all of Europe, as we see what is taking place even now in the Middle East and Syria and in Iran, etc., etc., we understand that God is doing something. There's a move in America, there's a move around the globe that says time is up, time is nearing, the rapture is coming. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the warning signs and recognize what Christians ought to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.